Continuing, these relations form the rather intricately drawn debtor-creditor lines of struggle in the capitalist world economy, and so do not directly entail class-forming effects, passe Weber. The evolving relational network seems, however, to be moving increasingly via the interstate system to form highly mediated but definite connections between very large groupings of debtors and very small groupings of creditors. And that disparity, that inequality expands daily, enlarges daily. Continuing, with the groupings being partially parallel in their formation to the classes being formed by class struggle as it is moved by capital out along the enterprise organized world scale division of labor. The mediations matter, for the appearance is that of a creation of official debtor and creditor states as condition of their existence as states. And officially classified debtor states are required on pain of losing their credibility as states, and hence of losing, in today's world, their very stateness. To reduce the cost of their exports by reducing the cost to capital, direct and indirect, of labor within their borders. Aren't we seeing that everywhere right now? Everywhere. Continuing, popular demonstrations against such officially constructed austerity plans are reported almost daily. And this was 30 years ago, right? This world-level organized pressure to depress the living conditions of the world's more or less proletarianized workers is hard to construe as other than a strategic escalation by capital of class struggle. It is, however, an escalation, a new scale, that is not all that easy to analyze. It occurs via rather original mechanisms concerning an area of class struggle that is poorly understood theoretically, namely the complex lines delimiting the spheres of necessary labor, relative surplus value, and levels of livelihood, or normatively, standards of well-being. And it is a sort of pressure, particularly given the complexity of the relational mediations that divides peoples into overlapping rather than polarizing groupings. And it is a sort of pressure, particularly given the complexity of the relational mediations that divides peoples into overlapping rather than polarizing groupings. Whether then the groupings that in fact form as the pressure deepens and spreads will reinforce or weaken the elemental class forming process is still to be determined. One can speculate, however, that the more these popular struggles focus in each national setting on whatever regime is in office, and so become focused on who speaks in the name of that national people as a whole, the more will such struggles weaken the workings of the world-scale class-forming process and strengthen the interstate system. The more, on the other hand, the popular movements join forces across borders, across continents, to have their respective state officials abrogate those relations of the interstate system, i.e., the impositions of the global state, of the global state statesman. That was my interjection. Continuing. Abrogate those relations of the interstate system through which the pressure is conveyed, the less likely they are to weaken, and the more likely they are to strengthen the pivotal class-forming process of the world economy. It seems unlikely to assess the third historical alternative that such popular struggles would directly become integral to, and in this way reinforce, the central areas of class struggle, except incidentally, here and there, owing to local conditions or local organizing acumen. World historically, then, these local or regional struggles, integral to the debtor-creditor relation of the world economy, of the sort we have been talking about, may keep some relations of accumulation uncertain, but probably will not in themselves prove to be a step or stage in the eliminating of the accumulation process as central organizing force of the modern world system. And one final comment. And by the way, we will have to come back to this next week. There's a lot in there, isn't there? I mean, this is the quality of thinking and analysis we have been denied for too long. We got some catching up to do. But I do not mean to imply, because we've already done the sufficient enough analysis with Kropotkin to know that we have to unite globally and that our actions have to take a global form. But this is perhaps necessary corroboration of Kropotkin, because it is so, it's in the language that is hard to refute. It's in the academic speak of today. And by the way, this is my comment on what we were just listening to. The debtor-creditor relation, it seems to me what this is a beginning of an unpack. It seems to me what they're saying here is that the debtor-creditor relation strips the illusion of any material basis for the quote-unquote theory that gaining state power could lead to people-led and defined global transformation to a socialist world. And I'm using that word socialist in quotes because, as they also are doing in this book, they are asking, what do we mean by that word? I'm arguing we mean freedom. Until next week. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Check out the PDFs as I post them on the blog page. But also check out Embracing Global Goals too. You know, who knows what will be allowed through. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week.